Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. I'm so excited. We have a wonderful guest today, Frederick Correa. And Frederick Sidney Correa is an experienced HR professional who leads the function at a prominent investment banking firm. And at the age of 16, he represented India as a youth ambassador to the United Nations. And he's been invited to various international conferences by UNDP, CETA, and ICAP. His keen interest in academics led him to pursue a master's in labor law from Mumbai University and also a PhD focusing on the employability studies of business school graduates. Frederick has extensive campus recruitment experience and is on the board of studies at a number of business schools, helping them shape their curriculum and keeping employability as a prime focus. He's the co-author of the upcoming book, Enhance Your Employability with Ikigai, a simple seven-step program to win at work and in life, which I think we all can use. So welcome, Frederick. Thank you so much for joining me today all the way from India.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for having me. Pleasure.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, how are things in India? You know, I'm in Illinois, so, you know, we are definitely in different places in the world. And, you know, we were chatting a little bit before I started recording about how things are going with COVID-19 and everything. So I was hoping you might just be able to share a little bit about how current circumstances are where you're currently at.
Well, in India, the numbers are just piling on, and we've touched the 65 lakh figure. 6.5 million in your metrics, and things don't seem like they are stopping, and we are every day having 70,000-80,000 cases. The silver lining is, well, we are a young population and we're getting through. So if we've had 65 lakh people who have been diagnosed with COVID, 55 lakh have got us scot-free. So people have now changed their paradigm, and they're looking at this pandemic with a little bit more positivity, and India is unlocking. We're getting back to work.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's progress. You know, I'm curious, since you've been on, you know, you said lockdown for a while, how are you optimizing, I guess, your well-being and your mental health with that? Or do you have any practices that you've been doing or anything that's been really helping you with just kind of coping with all the change and everything happening?
You know, to be very honest, you touched upon the right nerve, especially with us working from home. And in India, people take pride in sharing the fact that they're working for 14 hours, 16 hours, mm-hmm. 18 hours a day. And they don't put that kind of focus, and they don't share that kind of understanding of the importance of rest, mindfulness, and, mm-hmm. you know, giving yourself that break. And I personally do 20 minutes of meditating every morning before I get to work. You know, I just do a little breathing exercises. I've done this course called The Art of Living, happiness program, which talks about certain principles. And there are certain breathing exercises which help you concentrate and help you be in the moment. You spend 20, 25 minutes doing this every day. And once a week, they have a longer session. And you start work absolutely fresh. Mm-hmm. So that's my mantra. I try to get my wife to do it. She just thinks it's a lot of hocus pocus, but it really helps me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I am right there with you. Personally, meditation has been game changing for me. And I really think with everything happening, having a really good morning routine and starting your day in a certain way can really set the stage for, you know, how you show up in the world and how productive you are and how you feel. And so for me, like you said, you do the breathing exercises, meditation. That's amazing. And I typically do, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes of meditation in the morning. And then I do a little bit of a longer one in the evening, because that's when I have a little more time once the kids are in bed. But yeah, it's great that you've been able to incorporate that. You know, I Would love to hear about your experiences with the United Nations. I think that's so fascinating that you worked with them at such a young age. I mean, I think you were 16, right? So I would love to hear about how you got involved in that and then how that's kind of led to where you are now, because I know you're very passionate about helping youth and, you know, a lot of different things. So I was hoping you could share a little bit on that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was a game-changing moment for me. And while you did say that at the age of 16, I started working with the United Nations, the actual transformation and shift in the direction came at the age of 14 when my dad pushed me and poked me to take part in this essay writing competition. The competition was on a very tabooed subject in India, that as a teenager, I have the right to sex education. And I was not going to write it. And I told my dad, "Dad, I'm going to get thrown out of school. This is not something I'm going to put my name on. Be rest assured." And he told me, "Son, you know what? If you want to go ahead in life, you got to do things what others are not ready to do, and you got to do something different." He pushed me, probed me, and I acted like, you know, one innocent teenager and said, "Dad, what is? I have no idea." You know, and I still remember he said this, "Son, you don't teach a father how to make babies." So he said this in Hindi. So he said, "Son, you're going to do this." And I tell you, that was a moment which changed my life, because I was a very simple, studious, you know, in Indian language, front bencher, who then transformed into this dynamic individual who actually realized and got that cause of wanting to contribute, who realized the kind of potential and the gift I had. I was a very, very quiet person. And I can write and give it to you. The people who have met me in the last decade will be surprised if they meet someone in the first, 15 years of my life and ask about who I was as a young student. Mm-hmm. And once I won this essay writing competition, I started working with a few NGOs. So the prize was, I got a trip to the Taj Mahal, and I was staying at Taj, and this NGO had organized this whole competition, and there was a debate. And of course, being a winner, being fortunate, I was invited to that. And at the age of 14, I was one of the youngest folks there. I got the platform and I got to speak. And soon after that, I was approached by a lot of these NGOs who said, "You know what, son, you're young. You speak well, and you seem to be quite mature for someone who's 14 years." So I did not know how to or what to say. I said, "Do you think I look older?" They said, no. But of course, if someone, I do look much older than what I'm supposed to write now. But at that time, I was looking perfectly fine. So we started working together. Fortunately, I knew a lot of languages. I spoke English fairly well. So I could train. I got trained by the best in the world. And then I went and I've been trained. I have trained tens of thousands of youth and volunteers in this space. And what's best was the connect I was able to create, because they weren't talking to a 35-year-old uncle or someone who reminded them of that. Mm-hmm. They were talking to someone who they could befriend, someone who was of their age, but someone who had the right set of knowledge, who was guiding them the right way. Someone mm-hmm. who was actually able to bridge that gap. And, you know, I worked with the Srijan network. It's 133 odd network of NGOs. And finally, you know, I got invited to the big leagues, and I got this opportunity, got invited by the United Nations. I was invited by CEDA thereafter. I was invited by ICAP. Very fortunate, got to interact with my childhood hero, Jackie Chan. He was there. He was the ambassador cool. for ICAP at then. So worked with a lot of parliamentarians, worked with a lot of thought leaders. When India came up with this whole concept of NACO, National Control AIDS Organization, that was at ICAP in 2005. And that was the founding meeting, which was there. And that's where the institution was founded. And I'm glad to say that I was one of the members at that time. And I was a part of that of the founding, and that has been quite dynamic in the kind of knowledge and awareness we have been able to bring about in the country over the last decade and a half.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I want to dig a little deeper into something. I'm curious, with getting, I guess, into this leadership position really is what happened at such a young age for you. You know, that I think takes a lot of confidence. And I'm curious, did you feel confident at that time, or was it something that you grew into? Was it kind of like you just got started and then you, you know, one step, one foot in front of the other, and then all of a sudden, you know, you felt more confident and more of a leader? I'd be curious just to know your journey with that.
Truth be told, if I were to write my story, I'd say, yeah, it was fantastic and I was born with this gift, but it was a lot of pushing, a lot of probing. It was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of opportunities which were provided to me. Of course, I screwed up quite a few in the beginning. I made my mistakes. I made peace with that. I learned and I grew into this individual who is able to contribute to what I'd like to believe society today.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, do you have any tips or recommendations for people out there who are interested in trying to develop themselves as leaders or become leaders or grow their confidence? You know, any things that maybe helped you on your journey?
See, confidence comes from preparation. So, you know, if you want to win, you got to prepare to win, right? You don't prepare to run a race. You prepare to win the race, right? So you got to prepare to win. If you don't win, it's okay. You learn how to win. You keep learning. So either you win, or you learn how to win, or you learn what not to do. So, you know, when Einstein's factory blew up and when everything was blown to smithereens and everything got burnt, rather, and he was asked, you know, that, you know, you've lost all your work. He said, no, I've lost all my mistakes.
Right. I haven't heard that. I love that. Yeah. You know, that's a great story. I would love to learn a little bit more about the book that you wrote and the I keep having to refresh my mind on how to pronounce it, the Ikigai, right? Which is
Ikigai.
And I looked it up and it was Japanese, meaning a reason for being. That's what I found. Is that your understanding of it?
Yep, absolutely. Your reason to get out of bed.
Oh, I like that. Okay. So yep, your reason to get out of bed. So could you tell us a little bit about that book and give us maybe some insights into some of those tools and things that you can do to win at work and in life?
Oh, absolutely. But what I will do, if you do allow me, is to take it a little behind into a few insights which I picked up while I was doing my PhD research. So yeah. I went out to 800 recruitment professionals who are going all over the country and recruiting people, and I asked them, you know, what is it that you're looking for when you hire someone? That was one aspect where I did the quantitative analysis. And also I went through about 300-350 research articles to identify which are those factors. And it appears to be at the end of this, my finding that there are two major components which determine one's employability. One is your self-directedness and what I like to call the proximal determinants of employer satisfaction, and the other is the distal determinants or the contextual influences, you know, the kind of environment which you grow up, the kind of schooling, the kind of culture, the kind of country where you grow up, the kind of business school you choose, the kind of environment they provide to you where you discover or you identify or you find your purpose in life, your career clarity. So it boiled down to certain aspects which were in your control and certain which weren't in your control. But the most important aspect which is in your control is having your career clarity. And that is where this started. And I'll tell you an interesting journey and why I wrote this book. You know what? 3 years into my research, you know, I got my first research article. I shared it with friends and family. And they gave me a fake appreciation and said, you know what? It's good. It's very good. Kudos. Cheers. But I can write and tell you nobody read beyond the abstract. And then it dawned upon me that, you know what? Nobody's going to read my research. You know, I've been doing this. I've been doing this because there was a cause. I wanted to contribute to the employability of management students, because with the kind of population we have, in 2039, we're going to be the largest working population in the world and are going to overtake China. So either the world turns to us for their talent or we become the next sweatshop. Now that's in our hand. So I wanted to focus on employability, but what's the point? Nobody is going to read my research because my own loved ones are just going through the research and, you know, just having a cursory glance. And that is what inspired me to write that book. I wanted to democratize, revolutionize, and take to the mass this research which I had. And that I translated that research into 7 simple steps, which if one follows, he will ensure he enhances employability. And he does this, and these exercises help him find his ikigai. And what is ikigai? What is ikigai? Ikigai is an overlap of 4, you understand Venn diagrams, 4 circles, and the overlap of those circles. What are those 4 circles? 1, what you're good at. The other circle is what you're passionate about. The third circle is what the world needs. And the 4th circle is what is the world ready to pay for. Mm-hmm. And the overlap is that zone, which is known as ikigai. And if you are to spend 10 to 12 hours of your day, and let us say 70% of the time you're awake, because of course you got to spend time resting. And if you find that sweet spot, and if you spend 70% of your day over there, you're going to enhance your employability and you're going to be successful. So this journey or these learnings have been translated into these 7 steps, which if you do, not only are you going to have an accelerated career, but the purpose is to ensure you have a fulfilling one.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You know, I think, knowing your purpose, for me personally, like that's been quite an adventure, and it's been going from, you know, this field and then switching fields and now opening, you know, having my own business where I'm really following my passions. But the questions that you mentioned, you know, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? You know, those are all things that I was reflecting on when I decided to start Live Greatly. And I was really thinking, what do I get complimented on? You know, all those different things, what do people come to me for? You know, there's this whole process of like self-discovery. But also what I found now that I really feel like I've been following my purpose, work doesn't feel like work. It really doesn't. It's exciting. It feels like I'm kind of living my passion. And one thing that I talk a lot about is this, I have a big concern that a lot of people sacrifice their well-being when they're trying to attain success and they're not taking care of themselves. And that's part of what I do is kind of work with companies and businesses and people to help them, you know, with all these different areas of well-being. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on how can people do this and really, like, I guess, live their purpose, follow their dreams, and do it in a way that optimizes their health and their well-being.
You see, you've touched upon a subject which everyone is running after, you know, this whole concept of work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Well, if you do find your purpose in life, and like Crystal, you've been saying, when you like what you do and you do what you like, work doesn't seem like work. And then there's no question of work-life balance. Work and life integrate. And then you find this beautiful balance known as work-life integration, where you have time to do what you do. You like what you do. There's less stress. You're passionate about it. And most importantly, you find the time in the world to take care of your health, because the greatest wealth one has is your health, because you can earn more money. Mm-hmm. You can earn more fame, but what you can't earn more is the time you have on this planet, because time is constant. You know, we say that, you know, time passed. Time never passed. Time has always been constant. We come and we go.
Yeah.
So if we understand that and we are able to spend that time in taking care of our mental health as much as our physical health, I think if you're doing what you like, you'd be able to fill all your buckets and achieve all the goals you have put up for yourself.
So I want to ask you a question. You know, a lot of what you've been talking about, I think discovering your purpose, following your purpose. I love the Venn diagram of those different things overlapping. So I'm thinking about what could prevent people from really moving in that direction. And I think the big one for a lot of people is fear and the fear of failure. And I liked what you had said earlier, you know, talking about we're always learning, you know, and you had talked about your journey and how you had made mistakes, right? But then you learn from those. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, because I know for me personally, overcoming my fear of failure has really been life-changing for me.
See, actually, it's the taboo which people associate with failure. You see, when you're running a race, there's going to be one winner, right? Five out of six people running the race, they lose. But the bottom line is you learn, you understand what you could have done better. And I'm only going to share with you another example. You know, when Thomas Edison, he was inventing the light bulb, he kept failing. And, you know, this was his 1,000th attempt. And, you know, of course, you know, you reach a milestone of failure. And when the reporter asked him, you know what, wow, this is the 1,000th time you failed. When are you going to give up? He said, you know what? This is not the 1,000th time I failed. This is the 1,000th thing I learned what not to do in order to make that. So you know, you got to, every time you fail and you fall forward. So when you get up, even in your failure, you have covered ground.
Yeah, I think that that is just the attitude that we need to have, especially if you're starting a business or if you're creating something new. You know, there are going to be mistakes, and really looking at them as learning opportunities and having that resilience is so key. And I know for me personally, it's really like I've had to be my own biggest advocate. It's like if something doesn't go right, you know, I think a lot of us are so quick to jump to like beating ourselves up about it. And it takes effort and the intention to really try and change that, to be like, okay, you know what? I give myself credit and proud of myself for trying and for putting myself out there. And I'm going to get, like you said, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to keep going. But it definitely, you know, I think it takes action and effort. And the more you do it, the easier that becomes to be able to get comfortable with that, you know, with failure, I guess. It's definitely
I'm going to share with you a small story, and I'm going to share with you my personal stories or my personal story of how I failed and fell and fell and fell and only then found success. You know, when I like every other Indian student, and you know, in India, we have a culture that you first become an engineer or you become a doctor and then you decide what you want to do with your career, because you got to first prove to society that, you know what, I'm a good student. You got to tell, you got to prove to your family that that you know what, you have brought me up the right way. So I also fell victim to that. So if you look at my educational qualification, I've done my first master's in biotechnology, and you'll be like, wow, I didn't know that. And the kind of profession I am is very different. What people don't know, and this is not there in my profile, that the first job I had, and this was a stint of a month, was a job which every friend of mine, every batchmate would have thrown an arm and a leg for. And this was at a pharmaceutical firm, at a quality assurance, in the quality assurance department, where I had to work with this equipment. It was the HPLC. It's one of the most expensive equipment, and every biotechnologist loves or would love to have to work with that kind of equipment. I started running after what you know, I thought was what would give me success and what everyone thought was success. And I was trying to run up this ladder only to realize that this ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. A month later, realized that, you know, I cannot be stuck up in a lab. I was fortunate. I got a call from a startup. This gentleman, who's now my friend, was my boss then, said, you know what, Fred, why don't you come back to Kolkata and you work with us? You know what? And this is what I told him. You know what? You know, I'm happy to come. Now I'm leaving a brand and I'm coming with you. And I also took a small cut in my salary. I said, I'm going to do all of this, but you're going to promise me one thing, that you're going to give me a management role. And I studied a lot of behavioral psychology during my master's. I said, you're going to give me a role in HR. And if you do that, I'm going to take a salary cut and I'm going to leave this brand and I'm going to leave this job, which everyone thought I was a fool to do. Came and I joined that firm. And 2 years later, I wanted to do my MBA. And my dad was, son, you're doing well. Finally, you know, you're set and you're getting older. Why are you going to do your MBA? And I said, you know what? That's what I want to do. That's the kind of career I want to pursue. And we had our fair share of disagreements, of course. I was 26, 27. I was earning fairly well. And suddenly to stop everything and quit everything, because, you know, we in India get married very young. And my parents were, you're 27. When will you get married? And you'll finish only when you're 28. And then you'll take some time to get established. God was kind. Started my career in 2010. Did that. Did my first master, my second master's in 2012-14. Joined this investment banking firm, come up the ranks. A decade later, I lead the HR function. 10 years back, if you had asked me, do you think I would have been able to do this in this time span? I don't think so. Do you think I would have been able to do it without the mistakes I made? No chance in hell. I many times say, you know, that if I was on a beauty contest and somebody asked me this question, if there's something you could change about your life, would you do so? My answer would have been no. It is every failure I've made, every struggle I've had, every person I've fought. Because, you know, I told everyone, you know what? And I told my dad, till now, I did what everyone told me. Now I'm going to do what my heart tells me. And that is the actual reason, or that was that cause that I, what I found and why I wanted to contribute to the youth, because I want them to find this cause. I don't want parents to determine whether their child should be an engineer, their child should be a doctor when he's born. Let him discover it for himself.
Yeah, that's right? Amazing. You know, you listened to your own inner guide, you followed your passion, and that takes so much courage. It really, really does. So that's, you know, thank you for sharing that. That's a wonderful story. You know, we are coming to a close. It has been so fun chatting and wondering if there's anything else you want to share. And I also want you to be able to tell everyone how to find you and where they can access your book once it's published.
All right. So people can find me on LinkedIn. And my book is due for publishing towards the end of Christmas week. I hope so, if there are no delays. It will be on Amazon and every other online book space or library. I'm hoping that you'd find one in every business school as well. And God willing, if you ever do drop into the country, or you do drop in India, you can always just connect with me on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to have a conversation and guide you there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been wonderful having you. And, you know, I definitely will check out your book once it's published.
Oh, thank you so much, Crystal, for having me. It's been a fantastic interaction, you know, remembering all of these days.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. I have an 8-week online course that can help you optimize your well-being and performance and really have true transformation with daily videos that are about 2 to 7 minutes, so micro content, easily absorbable. And I also am going to be launching a new online course to help you eat to optimize your mood and really optimize your nutrition. So sign up for my email list to be notified of when that launches, which will be very soon. And please follow me on Instagram at livegreatly_co and on Twitter at livegreatly_co. You can check me out on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. Crystal Bauer, KRISTEL, and then Bauer is BAUER. Please reach out if I can help you or your business, your team, your organization. I am happy to help however I can. And I greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends and family, and let's really help inspire others to live their best lives. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.